Mendenhall, who's on our board of directors here. He passed, and we know he's up in heaven now, celebrating, probably thinking, why did I wait so long? No, just kidding. He is a great man. I learned a lot from him. He was a, I don't know, he was just a calming spirit when he was here. He was a tough guy, too. He wasn't just dressed like a cowboy. He was a cowboy. And he could, what did Pastor West sometimes say? He could whip him with a rattlesnake or something like that. I don't know. It was good, though. So today we're going to talk about two favorite subjects in the Bible, sex and money. Come on, let's hear it. Actually, we're going to leave out sex. I know some of you. We're just going to talk about money today. I know it's what you want to come to church for, is hear about money, right? Have you guys ever thought about if you were really wealthy, what would you do? You ever thought about, like, man, if I won the lottery, what would I do? Shane and I have played that game. Boy, if we won the lottery, what would we do with that money? How would we act? What would we do with it? And, you know, I'm talking about, you know, like Trump kind of money or Zuckerberg kind of money. And yeah, I'd be a great rich person. That's what I'd like to think. I'd be a great rich person. You know, I love playing that game, is what would I do if I had this, or what would I do? I know you guys do too. It's like, what would I do if I had that kind of money? So I thought I'd talk about money a little bit, because, you know, the Bible, I didn't even realize this, that talks about what happens when a person becomes wealthy. I know some wealthy people. I work in a bank, and so I know a few people around that have some money. And for the most part, most wealthy people are pretty good people. I mean, there are some real knuckleheads here and there, but for the most part, they're good people. They're just not good rich people. You know, they're maybe get a little, I don't know, we'll go into a little bit more. But, you know, they've either earned it themselves, they've had a good, successful business, they inherited it, they've done some things, and they've got the kind of money that you and I sometimes think about. So if we may have a few of those people here. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be one of them. Maybe you're going to be one of them. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to not become a bad rich person when you get that kind of money. So in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich. Now, it doesn't say, you know, you might think about this if you're rich. No, it says command. I mean, it's kind of do this. This is in the Bible. Command those that are rich in this present world to not be arrogant. Isn't it true sometimes when people get a little money and they get a little fame or get a little fortune, they become a little arrogant? Been around those kind of people before. They're a little better than us, or they think they're a little better than us. Sometimes you can tell somebody's heart is how they treat the lowest person on the totem pole wherever you're at. Maybe you're at a hotel and you walk in and you greet, you know, you see a pretty rich person or something, or somebody you think is rich, because that is a difference, right? There are rich people and people you think that are rich, right? Right? Some people are ended up to here in debt. They're not really rich. They just act like they're rich. They just look like they're rich. But how they treat the cleaning lady, you know, how they treat the busboy or something like that, that kind of tells you what kind of character they have. You know, to not become arrogant or snobbish. Not all rich people are that way, but they tend to have this tendency. Command those who are rich, the one percenters in this world, to not be arrogant, not put their hope. Everybody say hope. Hope. Let's not put their hope into the wealth, which is so uncertain. That's true, isn't it? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything in enjoyment. There are 2,500 verses in the Bible that talk about wealth. 2,500 verses in the Bible that talks about wealth. And it's kind of weird how wealth or money has an influence over us at times. And God knew this, right? He knew that it was going to be a challenge for us in this world. And he knew that when you get the blessings of God, that sometimes you get distracted from God. You lose your hope, and you don't put your hope in God anymore. You put it in the things of this world. And he knew that was going to be a challenge. You know, God doesn't say to feel guilty about enjoying the blessings he's given you. He doesn't. There's no place that says that, that you shouldn't enjoy the blessings of God, but it's where your focus is and where your hope lies is what he's cautioning you about in this scripture. There's accountability and responsibility in everything you do. And as you get higher up on the ladder, there's more accountability and there's more responsibility. You know, I don't get paid at the bank just to be there. I get paid for accountability and responsibility. And the more I'm responsible for, the more I get compensated for. Yeah, sometimes it seems like I just sign things. That's what I tell people. What do you do at the bank? Well, I just sign things. Yeah. But it's the responsibility and the accountability that goes with that. When they come in and examine the bank, you know, the FDIC or somebody comes in and examines the bank, I'm the one they hold accountable for not doing things right. I'm the one they hold responsible for not doing things right. So there's some accountability and responsibility as you increase in your wealth in this world. You can enjoy God's blessings, though. Don't feel guilty for that, but don't forget where your hope comes from. In verse 18, it says, command them, there's the word command again, to do good. So most wealthy people are good. They're just not good at being wealthy, right? If I ever cross that line to where I become wealthy and where I get to that next level, some people might say, well, Brandon, you might be there. You live in a nice house. You got nice cars. You know, you do okay. Yeah, I do. I've been blessed. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, if you ever get into the serious kind of money, I mean serious kind of money, I want to follow these truths. You know, I want to do good and be rich in the good deeds and be generous and those kind of things. Some people will say, you know, why do you say you'll wait until you're to that position to be generous? You can be generous right now. You can have a generous heart right now. And then when you hit to that next level, you're already used to being generous. You've already gotten to that point. The most generous people I know are probably the people without the money. I mean, what we think is money, right? Some of the most generous hearts I know are people that don't appear to have a lot, right? Because, you know, it's about percentage. It's not about amount. And America is one of the most benevolent countries in the world, and that's really because of our Christian heritage. You know, we come into this world as a taker, right? We're a baby. We want to keep for ourselves. But then we're reborn into Christianity to one of the most generous examples through Jesus Christ and God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We try to emulate that through Christianity. That's why our nation is one of the most benevolent nations in the world. We give more than probably any other nation in the world. But we could do better. I think we could do better. And you know, God gave so much to us, and all he asks is for us to follow him and do what he's told us to do. In verse 19, it says, in this way, they lay up treasure for themselves. So if I'm generous, I'm like the one percenters in the world. They, you know, you can call me wealthy. I want to be one of the one percenters in the world. If I'm generous, I have the ability, the opportunity to lay up for myself treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age. You might want to circle that, the coming age. You know, the writer's talking about eternity in verse 17, but he's also talking about wealth here and now. In 19, he's talking about the future. In 17, he's talking about now. 19's the future, 17's now. In this way, they'll lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they can take hold of the life that is truly theirs. So if you become wealthy, when you die, God is not going to be like, hey, nice job, man. You really laid it up. You did a great job. Do you really think God is impressed by wealthy people or the uber rich when you leverage your finances and don't do anything for the kingdom of God? He's not impressed. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, it doesn't impress him. The Zuckerberg type of wealth doesn't impress God. He's got all he needs. But what he wants to do is for you to leverage those resources for God when you become the uber rich. There are rewards in heaven. There are levels in heavens. We want to have that opportunity to get to that next level, but we have to keep our hope in God. You know, I've been studying generosity, and like I said earlier, it's more about the percentage than it is the amount. We get so caught up in this day and age, and we see these guys give big amounts, right? You know, on TV, or they pledge $100,000 to this, or $1 million to this. Well, what you don't know is that may be a 0.5% of what they could give. That's not 10%. But yet the person that comes in and lays $100 down, they may be the biggest giver of them all, percentage-wise. We look at the amount as a population, but we need to look at the percentage. I've talked to my boss about this at times, and, you know, he's a tither, which I love. I love that my boss is a tither. I'm a tither. Shane and I have been doing this for, well, we've been married, what, be 28 years in February? Did I get that right? Good thing I wrote it down. 28 years we've been married. We've been together 34 years, something like that. Can you believe she's put up with me for that long? No, I cannot believe that. We made the commitment to be tithers a long time ago, probably even before we were married, to be tithers. And it's about the percentage. It's about what, you know, the amount can be impressive to the eye. The amount can be impressive to the eye. It can be, you say you're going to give $1 million, but you're worth 50 million. That ain't as much as, you know, you think it might be percentage wise. But if you give $100 and you only have $200, wow, that's even more. See, right before Jesus died, he was watching people, give their offerings, and he sees all these people come by and give offerings and put their money in, and a single parent, a widow came by, dropped in a little bit, and Jesus turned to his guys and said, that's the generous one. That's the one that is given the most. It's a percentage thing. It's not a dollar amount thing. We talk about this at times, but I talked to my boss about this, and, you know, churches all across the United States, across the world, sometimes it can be tough financially. This building costs money. The insurance costs money. The sound systems, all those things cost money to do. And, sometimes we struggle at times, right? Yeah. Sometimes people go on vacation. They forget to bring their tithe. They take it somewhere else with them. That's why I love electronic giving, because you can't say, well, I wasn't there. Well, you could still get. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, meddling a little bit there, Tim. Sorry. But, we talk about, you know, gosh, if everybody just get on board and do what God's asked them to do. And he said, you know what? If really the top 10% of the population would get on board and tell them and do what God would tell them to do, there wouldn't be any issues at all. And I said, you know, you're right, because it's about percentage. It's not about amount. And those top 10% people could take care of most every need any church has if they just do what God's told them to do. Sometimes when you become that kind of wealthy and you get to that next level, there's the slope of hope. We start sliding down a slippery slope just like a mountain. I'm not a skier by any means. I don't know if that surprises you or anything. I've been skiing maybe twice in my lifetime. And you ever been skiing and I was going down a hill one time and I thought it was going down I think it was the thing split and it was a green on this side and a black or a blue black on this side. Well, I couldn't turn very well. So I ended up on the blue black and I had a yard sale. Meaning I displayed all my goods for everybody to see. And sometimes that's what happens when you become to that next level of uber rich. You start sliding down a slope you don't mean to go down. You lose the focus, the hope. You put your hope in money instead of hope in God. And then something bad happens and you have a yard sale and everybody sees what's going on. You start acting like you start doing things and you set in a pious position and you think you're untouchable because of the money, right? We think we're better than everybody else because of the money. it's a slippery slope we lead. You end up going down that blue-black slope, and it's not good if you don't know how to ski. We all have these opinions about wealth, right? We all look at those people on TV that have wealth, or they become brilliant, don't they? They're the smartest people in the world. And we all, you know, whether it be rich or famous people, all of a sudden they've gained all this intelligence because they have money. We tend to make fun of them. We tend to listen to them. The media is funny, isn't it? You know, somebody that's earned a lot of money acting, all of a sudden they're experts in whatever, whether it be the coronavirus, whether it be the war on terror, whatever, they're experts in it all of a sudden. No, you're an expert in acting. That's what I always, sometimes we do business with people and they've done very well for themselves and they get distracted, right? They may have been, maybe they made a bunch of money doing, having a business and done very well. Well, all of a sudden they decide, well, if I can do this, I can do this. They don't do this so well. And they get distracted from what they were called to do. And things start going the opposite direction, right? Their focus is somewhere else. They become distracted by, well, become kind of a little arrogant, don't we? Well, if I could do this, I can do this. No, you can't. You were called to do this. That's why you're blessed to do this. You're not called to do something else. Do what God's told you to do and rely on God. You know, don't rely on the money. If you have a really rich person that needs to hear this message, feel free to send them westviewchurch.tv. Tell them. We have a button on there they can give to if they feel guilty or something. They can do that. If they need to hear this message, if they're a real heavy hitter, a high roller, whatever you want to call it, send them this message. Because they need to know that their hope is not in money, it's in God. Sometimes when they become a little, when they get a little money, they become selfish, right? Their self begins to smell like fish. It's mine. It's for me. Rich people say it's not. You know, I'm doing this for my family or I'm doing this for my grandkids. You know, be honest. Be honest with yourself. Don't be selfish. Don't be that kind of rich person where it's about you. Greed. Greed is another thing that happens. We get a grip on our stuff and we want to control it. And we want to control those that have it. And we want to control what they get and what they don't get. And I want to get more and hold on to more. And when my net worth goes up, my intelligence goes up, right? So not only am I selfish, I can be greedy. Those things lead to one of the big things that always amazes me is pride. Pride, the ride of pride, you know, pride is stunning. People are dealing with pride and they don't even know they're dealing with it. If you don't think you're prideful, then you're probably dealing with pride. That's something I always try to keep my eye on, is that I don't get to that level that I become prideful. Pride will take you down a path you don't want to go and keep you there a lot longer than you ever wanted. Just because you're not willing to admit you made a mistake or admit that your trust is in something else besides Christ. It's hard to admit that you're doing something wrong. It's hard to admit that you're the one causing the issue. It's hard to admit and ask for forgiveness. You know, you start going down that slippery slope and you have the slope of hope, and these things start coming about, this selfishness, this greed, this pridefulness starts happening. Everybody's always trying to one-up somebody, you know. You ever been in one of those conversations? Well, you know, I was hanging out with Mark Cuban the other week. You know, he's kind of slipping in there. I was hanging out with Mark Cuban the other week. Some of you may not know who Mark Cuban is. He owns the Dallas Mavericks. He's a billionaire, and he's been on Shark Tank, and he was a tech guy, right? He made money in the tech field. That guy, we try to one up each other. You know, I was skiing in the Alps last week. You just kind of mentioned that, or you know, I bought this Lamborghini. There's only 17 made in the world. It's pretty nice. they slip it in the conversation. They're trying to one-up you. Or you're telling a story about somebody you met, and it's like, well, I met Elvis, you know. Elvis. And whether they did or not, they always try to one-up you. There are some people that just make stories up. I think we know a few people like that, too, that like to pretend they're one of those people, but they really aren't. Have you ever noticed when somebody gets a little money and they get a little more isolated? You know, when you start becoming selfish and greed and prideful, what do you start doing? What are these, some of these uber rich people? I know it's a weird message. I'm not talking to anybody in here, right? I'm talking, it's a weird message, right? It'll come together. Don't worry. They isolate themselves, right? They start becoming a little weird, a little strange, a little wacko, so to speak. And, you know, they get people around them that laugh at their jokes. And they make weird jokes and people laugh and they think they're funny, but then you think, that wasn't very funny. Why am I laughing? Because he's rich. That's why we're laughing. They become a little awkward. And have you ever noticed that rich people, and I've done this myself, I'm guilty of this, they start to rationalize things. They start to rationalize their giving. They start to rationalize what they're doing. And they start, I don't know, almost like they can fool God, right? It's almost like, you know, yeah, I have a $100 billion company, but I only pay myself $50,000, so I'm just going to tithe off of $50,000. It's kind of rationalized. You know, that's what my salary is $50,000. But you have 10 boats and 22 airplanes and 400 ranches, but I'm just going to tithe off of $50,000 because that's what my salary is. We rationalize things. I do that. I rationalize things myself, whatever it may be. I've done some creative thinking sometimes, and then I have to think, duh, stop it. Stop it. Whenever we have a special offering in here or we're giving to something, Shana and I, and I'll ask her, okay. I said, well, Shana, I think we're supposed to give whatever it is, $500, whatever it is. Oh, she just goes, okay. Dang it. I was hoping she would say $50. You set me up. God knows. I mean, she's a giver. She is. She's a giver, and she believes if God told us to give that, that's what we should do. She's really strong toward that. You know, if you're ever around a wealthy guy and they talk about all this development and things they're doing, here's what you need to say to them. I'm not talking to me in here, right? I'm not talking to me in here. This is a weird message, I know. Strange message. Aren't you glad you came today? You glad you came? Strange message. It'll come together, don't worry. You know, you're talking to a guy that's talking about all these things and he has these things and we're making, you know, we're buying hundreds of acres and we're doing all kinds of stuff and we have cash. We're not borrowing money. This is cash. I'm not talking about borrowing because that's different. We got all this money and just tell him, man, I'd hate to be you. Just tell him that. Tell him I'd hate to be you. Well, why? Why would you hate to be me? You know, you must stay up at night thinking of ways to not leverage your wealth for Christ. You must think of ways to not give toward the body of Christ. And that'll kind of stop them in their tracks. They'll be thinking, they probably won't call you again. They probably won't want to hang out with you because that's always the thing when you question people on giving or whatever. It's between you and God, right? And it is between you and God. But God's laid out some good principles for us of what to do and how to act. He even gave a scripture of 2,500 scriptures on money because he knew that money could be a distraction in your life. You know, he doesn't want you to be in poverty. He doesn't want you to be starving to death. He doesn't want you to lack things, but he doesn't want it to control you either. That's the hard part because it's nice to have money. It's easier to have money. I've had money and not had money. It's easier with money. There's no doubt. My mom said I've been broke and I've been rich. And she said I like being rich better. But you got to know where your source is. You got to know where it comes from to enjoy it like God wants you to enjoy it. The first thing you got to do is give 10% to God. Bring it to the house. Bring 10% to God. That's the start of generosity. God goes, 10% goes to the church. It's talked about through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. A lot of people that followed Christ gave 20, 30, 40% of their income. They did. Can you imagine that? Giving 40% of your income to the church? Wow. God just says 10. He said, give me 10. And the real generosity starts at 11%. You know, it doesn't start at 10%. Real generosity starts with those special offerings and special givings. You may have 10 yachts and 17 helicopters. After that, fine. Enjoy it. Great. I don't like helicopters. They don't seem like they're stable to me. They don't seem like they're supposed to fly. They do. I'm not a, you know, engineering marvel, or I don't understand physics to that extent. But something that goes like this and goes like this doesn't make sense to me. They're cool and all. Just not a fan. God says once you give the 10%, the rest you can enjoy. But be generous. God wants you to be generous. He blesses you to be a blessing. He blesses you to get it through you. He blesses you to help others. That's how it works, people. That's how it works. You know, I've been looking through some research a little bit. Here's a stat for you. The median global household income in the world is $9,700 per year. That's got to be wrong, right? Now, I looked it up a couple different websites and a couple different things. And according to the Global Rich List, an income of $32,400 per year puts you in the global 1% of wage earners. So if you make more than $32,400 a year, household, median household income, you're a 1%er. You're wealthy. You're one of the world's wealthiest people. See where I'm going with this message now? I told you it'd come together. So today, you, if you're in one of those, in that category, you're one of the world's 1%ers. You know, we always look at those guys, the Mark Cubans and Donald Trumps and those guys. Yeah, they are rich. There's no doubt about it. But we're just as rich according to the global economy. It's amazing that this message is for you too. It's amazing how that worked out, isn't it? You know, I was talking to you the whole time. We have a tendency sometimes to always push it off to somebody else, right? We have a tendency to always think, oh, well, that's for the uber rich people. You are the uber rich people. You live in the most blessed country in the world. You don't have to worry about where you're going to live. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. We are blessed in this country more so than anybody in the world. Sometimes I think we forget that. I think we forget how blessed we are in this country, how blessed we are to be able to, heck, we have three vehicles in our household. For four people, we have three vehicles. Wow, that is blessed. We're top 1% of the world. I make more than $32,400 a year. I'm one of the 1%ers. We always talk about my son, Brian, being a 1%er. There was a 99% chance that she couldn't get pregnant. She got pregnant. His name's Brian. He's a 1%er. In a good way. In a good way. We sit around and we think, well, what would we be doing? You know, both our girls are grown now. What would we, you know, we would just sit around and look at each other. That ain't no fun because I ain't that good to look at anymore. So we get up at 5 in the morning on a Saturday and drive to Concordia and watch him wrestle. He's so fun. That boy has more energy than both girls combined. He can go to wrestling all day. We went to Punisher duels. I think I told you guys about this. They were punishing. He was the nail that day. He didn't win a match. He got his hat handed to him. It was a long day for him. And most of the kids he was wrestling were 2 years older than him. And a sixth grader compared to an eighth grader, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Hair is one of them. Muscles are another one. But it let him know there's another level to get to. God's letting you know there's another level to get to in giving. There's another level to get to quit justifying your actions, to quit rationalizing your giving. Just do what God says to do. I'm not telling you. God's telling you to do. There's another level to get to. You know, the writers of Proverbs, Solomon, who was a brilliant individual, he's like a Stephen Hawking of his day. He wrote this. He said, the rich, that's you and me, right? We're one percenters. The rich think their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. You know, I think I can save my way to safety. That's sometimes how we think. You can't save your way to safety. Your safety and your hope is in Christ, is in God. It's in Him. If you're sitting in an ICU, I've only been in a couple ICUs. My stepdad was in an ICU at one point. He had some heart issues and things. But, you know, none of those people in there were worried about their portfolios. They weren't worried about the amount of money they had. They weren't worried about those things. They were worried about being healed, right? Getting better. Their hope was somewhere else. Their hope wasn't in their portfolio at that time. You sitting in an ICU, not doing well, your hope's going to be in Christ. It's going to be in Him. He's the healer, right? We don't think about our money being a healer. We don't think about our money taking us to that next level. You know, it's funny how a life situation can put things in perspective. You know, it can take your focus off what it shouldn't be on and put it on what it should be on. And sometimes you can get realigned, but you don't need to go through that to get realigned. You don't have to go through that. God can use those things for His glory, and He can turn those things around to good, but He doesn't make you go through them by any means. The number one competitor for your heart and mind, obviously the devil, but devil's behind it. The number one competitor for your heart and mind is money. You know, Jesus talked about money more than He talked about heaven or hell. You can get upset that we're talking about money in church, but Jesus talked about money a lot in church. He talked about money a lot because He knew it was a competition for your heart and your mind. You know, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. How do you keep your hope in God? It's really simple. It's really simple. The first 10 you bring to the house. And again, it's a percentage thing. It's not an amount thing. Just because you bring a $50,000 check doesn't mean that's 10% of what you made. You know, I couldn't talk to you about this if I didn't do it myself, because that wouldn't be right. You know, we tithe faithfully, and we have forever. Sometimes when you tithe, it's not a money thing that you're going to get rewarded. It may be health. It may be calmness. It may be peace. What's that worth, really? Yes, and you will be blessed financially as well. But God said, if you tithe, you'll rebuke the devourer. That is huge, to rebuke the devourer. Jane and I have talked about that a lot. There's been tough times in our life financially as well. But have you ever been tempted not to tithe? Sure, I've been tempted not to tithe, but I've not ever not done that. Did I say that right? I don't know. There's a lot of knots in there. I've always tithed. I've always tithed first. And it's the first fruit. It's the first fruit, not the last fruit. Because you're saying, God, this is Yours. I put my trust in You. I'm taking the focus off of me and my resources and putting them on You and Your resources. And the resources of God are huge, right? I mean, He probably has more money than those Kardashians even. I mean, that's a weird thing, isn't it? The Kardashians. That's a whole nother sermon. In Hebrews 13:5, this is interesting. Keep your lives free from money and be content with what you have. Oh, does it say free from money? No. It says keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's really the hard part of this whole thing is I like having a few dollars in my pocket, right? I like having a little cash in my wallet. I don't carry cash that often, but I like having a little cash in my wallet. I like having a little money in my bank account, and so do you. And sometimes we get caught up in pursuing to have money in our wallet or money in our bank account that we lose hope. We refocus our hope. The love of money is what hurts people. It's not money itself. Money is neutral. Money takes on the character of whoever has it. It really does. You know, you could take on the money. I've been watching a series on Netflix about drug dealers. I know it's weird. It's weird. But that money took on a different character when they held it. It took on a whole different character when they held it than if I held it. It takes on a whole different character than if Shayna held it. And, you know, money's neutral. It's what our hearts are. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Here are two tweetable phrases. I'm going to give you two phrases, and then we're going to be done. Two phrases you can take away from here, and then we're going to be out of here. You don't have to be wealthy to be generous. You just need to be generous to be generous. I think I said that earlier. You won't give at that level when you get to that level if you don't start here. You got to train yourself here. You got to trust God here, because when you get to that next level, you're going to trust God there too, because you say, man, I've done this. I've repeated this. I know what's going on. I can trust God in everything I do. You got to be able to bring it to God and let him have his, basically you're saying we give God every area of our life. We'll pray for health, right? We'll pray for our kids. We'll pray for other people's health. Sometimes I don't know if I can trust God with my money. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can trust him with what he's blessed me with. But by giving your tithe, you're saying, God, I trust you with this too. Every area of your life. Here's another tweetable phrase. If you aren't content with what you have, you're not going to be content with more than you have. I know you can be content and maybe not satisfied, but if you're content with what you have now, it doesn't really matter if you have more than enough. You're going to be content either way. And that's because your hope is in God, not in the money. That's really the essence of the love of money and being content with what you have. Yeah, I'd always like to have a nicer car or whatever. Everybody thinks about that. Tithe first. Enjoy the blessings next. Be generous. Do the things God's called you to. If he says tells you to give somebody $100, give somebody $100. If God tells you to help with whatever, help with whatever. It may be a time thing too. It may be you give your tithe of 10%, but then God tells you, hey, you need to spend some time going and helping your wife do the laundry. One of my favorite things in the world is laundry. I'm sure it's hers too. But be content with what you have, or you're not going to be content with more than you have. You know, today we're understanding that you're wealthy, right? This group's good at it. You're good at being wealthy. You're generous people. You're givers, you're tithers. That's amazing. When I see the body of this church, what it gives, yeah, I'm the treasurer of the church, so I get to see what all you guys, how generous you guys are. When I see that with this group of people, it amazes me. It amazes me what we do as a body of Christ compared to larger bodies of Christ, larger churches in this town. It amazes me. You guys are generous. You get it. You're the one percenters, right? Right? You understand. You're a generous group. You're good at being wealthy. You know, understand that it's from, and you guys understand that it's from God. You act like God. You give like God. You do what he's called you to do. And you'll continue in his blessings because your hope is in him, not in the things of this world. Enjoy the blessings of God. That's what he's given them for. That's what he's blessed you with. Be a blessing to others. Do what he's told you to do when he's told you to do it, and you'll be blessed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your word, Lord, that teaches us each and every day. We just thank you for the Holy Spirit bringing those things to light sometimes when we most need them. Lord, we just thank you that we can continue to follow in your teachings and in your word and be a blessing to others. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings in our lives. We just honor you with our tithes and offerings. We just thank you that we can trust you in every area of our life, including finances. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in these things. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Come back next week. We'll talk about sex, maybe. I don't know. Pastor Wes will be back next week. Thank you. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.